Today, in our hot seat, we've got Leonid Klasichev, but fortunately, I'm allowed to call you Leo. Leo is the CEO at Logros IT. So, Leo, very nice to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, and it's a pleasure to meet you all.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are NIMSY's Inga Boonen, Chief Growth Officer, and Sarah Hickey, VP of Research.
Leo, just to start off, in one sentence, can you tell us what Logros IT actually does?
Yeah, we call it, it's just a nice phrase, content creation and transformation company, which means that we create content for blogs, we create videos, but we also translate, localize, transcreate, do quality assurance and evaluation and all the other things going in a suite together with it.
All the fun stuff.
Yes. and more.
And more. That sounds great. And when you were a child, what type of career did you dream of having? Was that something similar?
You wouldn't believe it. I never wanted to be something mundane like an astronaut or an train engineer. I always wanted to be a physicist like my stepfather because I really liked science. I was good at all things technical. So it's very weird, but starting from a very young age, I thought I'd be in some type of research, maybe math or physics or something like that.
Yeah, really cool. And as a CEO, are you still looking a lot at numbers, Dan, and doing
well? First of all, it all happened. I did have my career. I've got a PhD in plasma physics. And yeah, I would say it really helps because one thing that all these hardcore sciences really give you is a way to combine all the tiny shards and create a whole image of it that makes sense. And this really helps a lot. Plus, I'm good with numbers, as you mentioned.
Wow, that's fascinating that then you ended up in the language services industry, which is not really considered as a very exact industry, let's say. So how did you end up there?
Oh, that was part, I would say, a serendipitous encounter, part need. As you may remember, I mean, for those old enough, you probably do not. Under President Reagan, there was a program called the SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative, which in common speak was nicknamed Star Wars after the famous movie that was released a little bit earlier. So at that time, plenty of scientists on both sides of the Atlantic were working to create deadly beams. That's why the Star Wars terminology, to hit satellites and everything. I mean, it reminds you of today, but it was years ago. So at that time, I was working for the Strategic Defense Initiative. And then when Gorbachev came, when detente started and everything, all the scientists have lost their jobs because nobody was thinking the Third World War is happening at that time. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And you had to find yourself another job. And I thought, okay, I know a couple languages. I'm good with everything technical. I'm really excited with personal computers, all things around it. Why just not dive into a niche that kind of, I would say, seals the gap between language and science? Because localization at that time, it was very engineering intensive, and it really required you to know more than just basic linguistic tasks or how to work with a CAD tool.
Wow. Fascinating background story.
That's really cool. And I was wondering, when you are not working, and do you still dabble in some scientific projects?
Well, honestly, not. But I am definitely diving into some things I consider curious. Mm-hmm. I just cannot stop. That is, I like to read about various research about, say, the batteries that are all the hype nowadays and how mm-hmm. we can improve the range of electric vehicles. Or, say, I really like music. My wife tolerates my love of musical equipment, all those hi-fi items. And she says that, I mean, it's relatively benign compared to some other things. So it's kind of the best of hobbies. So, you know, I have a lot of equipment at home. I like to test it out. I like to compare, I like to try it.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, plus, you know, we need to move. I mean, we're sitting with our booms attached to the chair at most times, regrettably, just as it happens now. And so I really love to play tennis.
Oh, nice. I play tennis as well.
Is traveling amongst your hobbies?
Oh, absolutely it is. Say a little bit more than 3 weeks ago, we visited our office in Ukraine. Traveling there by train for 24 hours from Prague to Kyiv, supporting our office there.
That's really good to hear, and that must have been quite an experience to do
Absolutely, but you know, I always thought about the people who not just work there. By the way, they didn't miss a single workday despite all the evacuations, all the other trouble. It's amazing how courageous and tenacious these people are. And every moment I thought, okay, I, as a representative of the outside world, am just going there for several days. These people live there.
What's the best piece of advice that you have ever been given?
Now, that's a tough one, actually. Well, believe it or not, but one of them was deeply ironic. I got it when I was a graduate student. And that was my boss who told me when preparing for the first seminar in my life when I was supposed to report the results of my first work. And he told me, you know, Leonid, preparing to deliver a presentation, the first thing you need to keep in mind is never overestimate the level of competence of your audience.
Yeah. I actually gave that advice today to someone. So, I agree. It's great.
Yeah, but that was the first thing. But it didn't really sound, I would say, that deep ironic. Actually, what he meant is that you should be clear, concise, succinct, simple. You should not assume that all the people have deep knowledge of the particular niche subject you're working on. So that was the essence. But beyond that, that sounded very ironic. I liked it. It's exactly the type of dark humor that you appreciate.
And so how did that presentation go? Do you remember?
Yeah, so. You do not get the skills immediately, to be honest. You hone it over the years. So nowadays, I'm much better at presentations than at that time.
Yeah, so Leo, thank you so much. I feel like we've gotten to know you so much better already. We've learned a lot about you and your background. And there were a few history lessons in there as well. So very interesting episode for us today. Honing in a little bit more on the tougher questions about your career. What was your first breakthrough moment? Was there something that you recall?
Believe it or not, it was more of an emotional breakthrough moment rather than, say, scientific or something, because very early in my childhood, I realized that I'm a nonconformist. And just we need to take into account the fact that I was born in the Soviet Union. So at that time, you had to follow all the communist rules and all the expectations and everything. So in a sense, you were living in a concentration camp with a very mild, kind of relaxed regime, but still a concentration camp, more than a normal country. So the first lesson I learned at school that I just cannot follow this routine. I hate it. I do not understand why should we pray to Lenin, or why should we do this, or why should we do that? And believe it or not, nobody could explain it to me.
I do believe that, actually.
Except for my dad, who was an anti-communist, and he said that, you know, it's all bullshit, so they just make you do that, but try not to repeat it at school, which obviously I did the next day. So I would say that was the first breakthrough.
And
I mean, literally, you remember, it's just kind of very Pink Floyd-ish.
I like your rebel nature. Very interesting to learn this about you. How do you feel like, or have you found that this has also had an effect on your career?
Well, first of all, I was really lucky to get a very good technical education. One good thing about the Soviet Union was that education was free. Mm-hmm. And you can even get a stipend if you were a good student, mm-hmm. which I was. So I started with a very intense, very comfortable career in science. And with this education, you can basically do anything you're interested in. Because as they taught us at the Moscow Physical Technical Institute, which is the closest equivalent of MIT in the US, is mm-hmm. that we do not teach you things. We teach you how to think and mm-hmm. how to bring, I'm repeating myself, how to bring all these small unrelated shards of knowledge together to create and understand the whole. And that's the thing I'm doing best. And I think that's the best school you could have got.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Every education, every school should be about that, not about repeating knowledge, but teaching people how to think.
Oh, just thinking about the bow tie that you all see, you know, it's Oscar Wilde who said that you can never be overeducated or overdressed.
I like it. Very true. When you think of challenges that you had to overcome, thinking about your career now, was there one that you can recall, either a major challenge that you overcame or a mistake you made and what you learned from it, something you can share with us?
Oh, plenty of them. You know, when we just started and we needed to go to a supplier training organized by one of the very big customers in the industry, and it was just a big event, you're kind of not even part of the world yesterday, and suddenly you go in there and it's so cool, so incredible, you need to go to Ireland and learn how to localize their products and all that stuff. But the thing is, I needed a passport and a visa, and at that time it was really hard to get and took a lot of time, and I needed to get there in 2 weeks because they typically notify you within a reasonable time frame, but nobody thinks about months or a half year. Mm-hmm. So I consulted my dad and he said, yeah, you can bribe one or two officials there in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs just to get your passport application speeded up and rushed through the system. So I met the guy, gave him the money, I got the passport, I got there, so everything went well. But my passport was confiscated on my way back. Turned out it's a fake.
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so it was fast, but it was not a real thing. It was not a speed up. It was just a counterfeit product.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so that was interesting. Well, they didn't punish me, actually. They just told me, tell us everything about the crook who sold you that, and then you can apply for a regular one. But it was quite an experience because I was absolutely convinced that it's totally legal, except for just I had to pay for speeding it up, which is normal in a bureaucracy. So my conscience was clear. As for the setbacks, yeah, we were working for a project for a very big client, and it was a very challenging one, a very big one. And at that time, we had many projects in our hands. So I didn't pay enough attention to that, concentrating on projects from other clients. And actually, we performed below expectations on that one. We lost a lot of business. And that taught us how intense, how concentrated, and how deep into details you need to be unless you are a CEO of a huge, huge corporation. But other than that, you really need to keep up with the events and make sure you know all the gory details happening at the very low level.
That's a very good way to put it. I like that. Creates a nice image too in my head now. So thank you. It's a good lesson. Then on the flip side, what was like a maybe something you would define as either your biggest or one of your biggest successes in your career?
Great question.
Yeah, we're going from the low to the high.
Yes, great question. So honestly, I would say these were several absolute and related things that come to mind first. So one of them was when I realized how to create what we call this hybrid multidimensional quality evaluation model, because prior to that, we had something very simple, absolutely not up to the task of evaluating translation quality. And suddenly I'm coming up with a clear, well-built, scalable, and adaptable model. And suddenly I realized, oh, we can do that. That was a eureka moment. And that was also a kind of a memory trip to my scientific past. So that is why I really love working on such things. When you come up with an idea, how you can develop the business or how you can create a new line of projects or business or a new offering, and at the same time, truly enjoy it. Mm-hmm. When you're not just grinding it or just building all the bureaucratic structure required in place, but when you are going through this eureka moment, that was probably one of the happiest and probably I can even call it the best gifts I've got from my career and from life, when you suddenly come across a situation that not only challenges you, but allows you to build a beautiful solution.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It's a great feeling when you're presented with a challenge and you have a great idea and it works out. That's amazing.
Regrettably, it doesn't happen too often.
Yes, not too often, but when it does, it's great. You know, also keeps it more special, makes it more special. So, thank you again for sharing. I feel like you have a lot of great lessons already that you shared with us, life lessons, lessons for your career, not just your career, anyone's career, really. So as my last question, I'm wondering, though, can you give us one last piece of advice? So what advice would you give to young entrepreneurs who are starting their own business in the language industry today?
Well, I'd probably give them two. But once again, I'm not in a position to give advice. I'm not wise enough and I'm not incompetent enough. You know, there's a typical saying, if you do not know how to do it, go teach the others.
Yes, those who can't do it, teach.
Yes, exactly. So I still hope that I can do that. That is why I'm not good at giving advice. But I'll violate this principle and I'll give a piece of advice. So first of all, do not be afraid of making mistakes. You'll make them anyway. And however much you read smart books, advice from people in the industry or people who've written all those textbooks, they will not help. You'll have to make these mistakes yourself before you learn anything. And second, think about it as the food chain. Try to start at the top. And the top is where content is created, not where it's translated or localized. The translation market as such, however ominous that may sound, is dying. And the margins are thinning, and there is no long-term future there for you. But when it comes to more elite, more niche things, when you create artistic content, when you can help write it, when you can help transcreate it, that's where the future of the industry is, as it's reinventing itself and trying to survive. I'm sorry if it sounded grim.
Well, any perspective is welcome. And I feel like you have also touched upon some very interesting developments. I mean, that, you know, that there is a big move towards more original content creation, also in multilingual content creation, of course. rather than opting for translation. And though, of course, that's a much bigger debate where the market is going, and we do not have time for that, unfortunately. But I like that you're leaving us with something to think about. So thank you for sharing that as well. Now, I feel like I need to apologize to teachers for saying those who can't do teach.
I wouldn't apologize. It's just kind of common.
I have a lot of teachers in my family.
Well, it's kind of common knowledge, but it has nothing to do with teachers. It's just irony.
It's true. I know. It's just the saying.
Plus, the real teachers who are good at their job, they'll never take offense at that.
It's true. And it's rare to have a really good teacher and someone, you know, a big difference between someone just knowing their subject and someone being able to teach.
But yeah, think about it that way. Yes. If somebody takes offense, this person is a moron and you shouldn't care.
I love the way you think and explain things. Honestly, I could, when I feel like I might reach back out to you if I need advice on something. And this
I'm not good at advice. And if I give advice, it would be the worst.
I disagree. You're giving me lots of things to think about, and I like the perspective you're taking on things. So very refreshing, honestly. Really great.
Thank you so much. It's flattering. If I knew how to blush, I would. But
that's okay.
that's been fun.
Great. I'm so glad you had fun as well, because I definitely did. And I think, yeah, Inge is still laughing, so she looks like she's having fun as well.
I'm good.
Good. Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Really very nice. Thank you so much. It was a blast. And if anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you are part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
And for the viewers and listeners, thank you so much for tuning in today. And watch out for another episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSY website. We'll see you there.